Good morning to everyone. Glad to see everyone out. Glad to have a little bit of warm weather to start our day out today. Seems like our weekends have been full of cold weather and snow for far too long. It's nice to have a little bit of a break. I've even noticed some colors in the members of the congregation wearing a little bit more springy outfits too. So for whatever reason, it seems like grays and blacks are typically the theme for winter. And as we get closer to spring, everybody's ready for some color. This morning's lesson is going to benefit, I think, a lot of the fans of the congregation for the NASCAR races. I like watching any type of racing. My favorite definitely is road course racing, and I even like motorcycle racing even more than that. I know Bill was giving me a little bit of grief on Wednesday after our class for dogging on the oval versus multiple turn circuits that I prefer. But it certainly doesn't take away from anything that's exciting. And racing is definitely an exciting sport for whatever thing that we're talking about. And like most things, things that make us, that are fond things for us to think about, things that we put a lot of time in watching, it's good to take those things and take the things that we like, things that we certainly talk about it. I hear a lot of people talking usually after assembly on Sunday, well, how did things go yesterday, or how did things go today, and which driver did what? So it's obviously something that's on people's minds. And I like to take things like that, that we all have some affinity to enjoying, things we like to participate watching or whatever, and put a little spiritual spin on it, because that's certainly what Christ did, and I try to follow His example by taking things that's important to us every day, things that are part of our lives sometimes, and making sure that we put a spiritual application to it. And the goal for that, and I think Christ did such a good example of that, and through of all of His teachings we see in the Gospels of the New Testament, taking things that you do every day, putting some spiritual application to it, and the next time you do that thing, or you go through that process during the day or the week or whatever you may be doing at home or at work, you'd stop for a second and think, oh, that jogs my memory. That reminds me of a spiritual application that was told to me or that I can remind myself of. So I want to go through a couple things. Most of you probably, if you do like racing, and if you don't like racing, you didn't probably watch the Daytona 500 last weekend. We were in Indiana. My sister-in-law had a surprise birthday party on Saturday, and during the afternoon on Sunday, we did catch bits and pieces of the race before we were heading back home. And so it was a typical race, lots of accidents. I think most people will surmise that the majority of the race was dedicated to the accidents last week, because it seems like what all happened. But I want to run through here. I've got a certain number of slides that I try to put in my presentations, and if I'm feeling too artsy, they get kind of crazy, so I'm going to have to be fast on each one of them today. Just some facts in case you missed anything last week, or you just want to go back and take it all in again. The Daytona 500 was held on February 20th, 2011. That was last Sunday. That's the current logo from that. Some of these things are taken from Wikipedia, which is one of my favorite resource information sites. Attendance last weekend was nearly 182,000 at the racetrack. That includes the people in the stands, and I don't think that includes all the people there that were for families of the racing teams and for the pit crews. But in attendance, 182,000. It's a pretty big group of people at the racetrack. Add to that, 15.6 million people were watching on TV. That's around the world. Seems the more satellite we get, the more cables, ways that we get for getting broadcasts out there, the more streams people can get on their phones and whatever, the more people can watch television. And it's just a crazy, crazy media that just keeps growing. 49 cars were entered for qualifying, only 43 of them will race. That's standard for how things work with NASCAR. They typically have so many try to get in, and based on how fast they go, they can either race or they can't race. Out of those, 30 cars were running at the end of the 2011 Daytona 500. So going back there, 43 cars were racing. Basically, 13 of them were knocked out. And some of them were racing, but they were just barely there because it was a crash at Derby, I think, for the most part. And one of everybody's favorite takeaways on there, and I've seen several posts when I was doing some research on this, last week's race kind of coincided with a lesson that I'd been planning, but it coincided with it so perfectly. I talked to Abe and a couple others, I think mentioned it to Mom and Dad, that there was just something that happened during the race that was like, oh, that is perfect for what I was hoping to talk about. We'll get to that in just a second. A lot of people said it was a race to forget because there were so many accidents. I think the average speed of the race is like 130 miles an hour. The cars can do almost 200 miles an hour, so because of all the cautions, they had to drive around so slowly that really reduced that. This weekend, Trevor Bayne turned 20 years old. I think his birthday was on Sunday, or Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember. You'd have to ask somebody that knows more about that. But 20-year-old, his winning that race, $1,462,563 for that finish. Not sure about the rest of you, but that exceeds my paycheck slightly. When I was looking on the research that was done there, the driver typically gets about 30% of that because it's all dispersed among the team and their sponsor kickbacks and so on. Still, 30% of $1.4 million is still slightly exceeds that paycheck again. So it's a great thing to see him. And it was better yet to get this picture. And normally you see in champagne sprayed all over the place. Those of us that try to avoid alcohol and don't like really promoting it, that'd be a frustrating thing. If you could zoom in on there, they're all spraying bottles of Gatorade on each other. So Gatorade's a sponsor. So they've done a good job with NASCAR on trying to reduce the alcohol promotion. The lesson title is Letting Go of the Wheel. And the thing, I can't tell you how many hours I looked for trying to find footage for the exact moment that I saw this in the race last weekend. I could not find it. I'm pretty sure it happened here. This is about the best good picture I could find. But regardless, you'll have to just assume that this is correct. What happened, that middle car you see up there, number 14, and I was also happy that I didn't get a bunch of cars with sponsors that we probably wouldn't really appreciate here. The number 14 car, a car was in the same exact position. And if you've ever watched racing, you know they all bottle up together. They can go faster if they're in groups, especially if they're drafting each other. We'll talk about that on the next slide here in a second. But that person in the middle had gotten in there. It was after another restart. It seemed like that's all that was happening is yellow flags, red flags. Just they kept on stopping the race because of accidents. They cleaned things up. They'd go around the track a few times on their behind the pace car. They'd start the race. Everybody would try to get back up to the front. There would be another accident. That's kind of how the short time that I watched it kept happening. They had a really good start on one of these times. Situation like this guy. There was three cars wide. And that's, the tracks are pretty big. These cars are pretty big, too. And when they get up on the banking and stuff, when there's three cars wide, it is really hard to drive. If you ever watch those races, they shake around a lot as it is. The person in the middle there has got problems with a lot of aerodynamic drag on them. They're hiding, getting behind that first car, number 39 there. They're trying to draft off him so they can go a little bit faster. But they've also got air coming off of the other cars around them on both sides, so it really makes a lot of uplift. And if you know anything about aerodynamics, uplift works when you have air get cut through by something and it lifts the air up and everything else wants to lift up too. Well, in the case that I remember, whether it was this number 14 car or not, that car started moving around and it had moved around to the point where the driver overcorrected. The whole car turned and you could just see the driver wrenching back and forth. And he kept doing that and the car was just about to go off the track. I mean, he was about to have another accident. And I saw him close up. It was a closer up shot than that. The driver took his hands off the wheel, and that car straightened right up, and he grabbed a hold of it again. And it was just such a perfect moment for the lesson that I had for this weekend. Letting go of the wheel, sometimes you need to just let things happen the way that they're going. In the spiritual application I'm going to look at today, we need to not be trying to control our lives by how we do things, what we think is the best thing. Sometimes we need to look to God and let Him take control. That driver may have been saying, "Lord, help me, please," and he threw his hands up there, and by just some strange miracle, that thing got straightened out by the providence of whatever. Mostly it was inertia that took over there, because cars, as you know, we'll talk about this in a little bit, things that are going in one direction typically won't go in another direction unless they're acted upon by another force, sometimes at the driver's hands. That driver was smart enough to let go of the wheel knowing, "I can't fix this, I'm overcorrecting, it's not working for me." Let go of the wheel, it gets straightened out, grabbed hold of it again, and he went on. So, sometimes in the race, you got to let go of the wheel, both in this case and spiritually. Here's a really cool graphic that I found, and I think this was done a few years ago. If you don't like Chevys, then you can just ignore those big Chevy symbols that they've got on this computer animation here. But this shows what happens during drafting in cars. These are just two cars side by side. Shows the wind coming in from the left-hand side, and you see all the areas that are in red. That's where the wind hits the car, and the wind is diverted so quickly that it builds up heat, and it also causes problems for the car. One reason why cars can typically get to 55 or 60 miles an hour really quick, and then it's really hard to go past that, if you're allowed to, is because that wind is harder and harder and harder to push through. I know my son, one of his favorite cars is the Bugatti Veyron Supersport. It's like the most amazing super speed car. It's, I think the new one's 1,500 horsepower. It's just a car, 1,500 horsepower. And it takes 1,500 horsepower because I think that new car will do almost 243 miles an hour. And the reason it has to have so much horsepower is because the faster you go, the more that air is against you, and it just, at some point, it's almost like a brick wall in front of you. You see, even as that wind gets diverted over the hoods, when it hits the windshield, it's putting up another red signature there on that ultraviolet. Everywhere that's the blues and stuff, that's cool air, but everywhere it's heated there, it's causing a problem. You see, even though it hits the front and the windshield of the car, back on the back where the spoiler is hot too, because that air is trying to, it's getting split, just like in a thunderstorm. When that lightning flashes, that big noise you hear from the thunder is because all that air gets separated and it smacks back together. On a very slow scale, that's what these cars are doing. They're cutting through that wind. And as they do that, it's hard for them to get through. In drafting, you see that big gap on the back of these cars in this illustration here. They try to get there so they can take advantage of the car in front of them, pushing through that air. And the car in the back helps fix where the air is coming down off that spoiler. So I'm no science major. I'm not going to punish you anymore on all that. But that does kind of show you a good illustration of what happens with drag and air. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run the race all run, but one receives the prize?" It doesn't say that all get a prize. We sometimes see races where you have a first, second, third, fourth, and whatever. But there's always one champion in every race, and sometimes those races are very difficult. Paul says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Just like Trevor Bain here, he did his job, and he did a great job there as a young man. He wanted to obtain that prize. Every driver out there, I said that there's 49 cars that tried to get into qualifying, 43 that got on the racetrack, only 30 finished. Every one of them was trying to be this person here. They wanted to win, male or female. Going back to that picture there, in 1 Samuel, I wanted to look at some things about how sometimes in life, in a spiritual aspect, we may be that driver stuck there in the middle, and we've got all these pressures around us. But think about some of these passages. 1 Samuel 12:11 says, "And the Lord said to Zerubbabel, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety." It was the Lord that does those things, not us that does those things. All around this driver, there's problems. Those things are basically, no matter how good of friends he's with some of those people, some of them may even may be on his team, those are his enemies. They are blocking him from getting to that prize that we talked about. In 1 Corinthians 9:24. All around them may be our enemies sometimes as we try to get through life. If we want to dwell in safety, we need to let the Lord be there for us. 1 Kings 5:4 says, "But now, Lord, my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence." That's what the goal is. When you see that one car out there by itself and it's getting ready to cross the finish line, that's what this passage is talking about. Rest on every side. There is no problems around you. There's no draft problems. There's no road problems. There's not a car getting ready to bump into you. You're all by yourself there. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." That's just a matter of fact of human life. We're going to be having problems around us that we've got to get past. Job, in the discourse that he was having in chapter 30, was talking about how difficult he felt that God had let him down when he was really dealing with the difficulties that he'd suffered and was making some accusations that God got onto his case before. Out of context there, just want to take a look at this passage. It says, "You lift me up to the wind, you cause me to ride on it, you spoil my success." Again, Job was talking about this in a kind of frustrated way, but this really applies to this picture and to us spiritually. The problem with that number 14 car is that all around him there was air lifting that car up. It was causing it to get light and handle in a way that wasn't what the driver was expecting. And in that case, his success was spoiled. He was not able to drive the way that he wanted to because of all these things around him. And how easy do you think it's going to be for a car like that to pass everybody and get around them? You can't. You're boxed in. And that's sometimes how our lives are. Inertia, I know there's always the example I think most of us learned in school. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. A body in motion tends to stay in motion unless acted upon by another force. That's just, the funny thing was, I know Abe gives me a hard time about that American Heritage Dictionary. I could not find that in the American Heritage Dictionary. This is what they said. They said, "Inertia is a property by which matter, or the property of matter by which it retains its state of rest or its velocity along a straight line so as long as it not acted upon by external force." It doesn't matter if you're an object and you sit real still, you will not move. You'll stay still as long as you sit there. The only thing that's going to make you move from there is if your muscles take your body and move you off to some other place. These cars, even though they can do 190, 100, or 200 miles an hour in a race, sometimes you watch them and the camera just follows them and it just looks like they're sitting still. You see all this stuff flying by them really fast, but the car is just all they're doing every once in a while is hitting bumps and stuff. It's like, that's so bizarre. The fact that they can touch each other with the front ends of their cars, the back end of another car, 200 miles an hour, it's like, oh, that was just a light bump. It's because they're all doing that speed. It's just crazy to watch how they do that. Whether a car is sitting still or whether a car is in motion, they will tend to keep going in motion. Just like that driver that was like, oh, I can't control this thing. The car's natural inertia was to keep going with the flow, to keep on that speed that it was doing, to stay on its trajectory. It was acted upon by another force because the air from those other cars was coming around, making it get all crazy, and the driver was trying to correct it. That was another force that was acting against the car's inertia. What straightened that car out is the inertia was stabilized because the driver let go of the wheel. The wheels went back to their normal straight position, and they kept going. In this case, you see an accident. You certainly know that in this case, the acted upon by an outside force was that the other car was running into them. And it happened a whole lot of times last weekend. As Christians, we are like a racing driver in the Daytona 500, or any race that you want to talk about. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Whatever the race is, we need to run with endurance. We need to try to get that inertia so we keep on going. We don't sit still or we don't slow down. Anything that slows down is going to naturally keep that speed, and it's going to keep slowing down because the road surfaces are going to be rough against the tires. The tires have friction on them and so on. It's going to get to the point where eventually you just stop moving. That's how our lives are too. So individually, how do we let go when all these things are going on around us? Proverbs 4:13 says, take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. You know why that driver let go of the wheel when he started getting crazy like that? Somebody told him about that. Either he had experienced it himself before, or somebody had told him, boy, if you get in trouble, or I could say it with a southern drawl, just to make those southern people that know the Bible so well, as they pointed out in his lesson today, better than the northern people. That would be me. In the southern drawl, they say, boy, if you get in trouble, you need to let go of that wheel and that car will straighten out. And that's one of the things I find a great contrast there between watching NASCAR and watching motorcycle racing or Formula One or road racing. Nobody talks like that. So I think that's why it's so popular. But it does make it fun. And the sad thing, the one video I was trying to get that screen capture from, every time my computer would stall and it'd go back to the beginning of that video, it'd say, boogity, boogity, boogity. I'm like, oh, please stop saying that. I like NASCAR, okay, but that thing, that just seems wrong. Somebody had explained to that driver, if you get in trouble like that, you need to let go of your wheel and it will work out for you. He listened and he was paying attention to just what this proverb teaches. Take hold, firm hold of instruction, do not let go of instruction. Keep her, which is again is instruction, for she is your life. Good instruction is our life, whether it's in school, whether it's in business, whether it's trying to live lives as Christians. Good instruction, pay attention to it and hold on to it. James 2:1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. I wanted to do two different slides there and just hide that last part. Can you imagine a passage in the Bible that tells us Christians that, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. But it doesn't say just that, with partiality. That means don't hold on to it a little bit. Don't just barely hold on to the law of the Lord. Grab a hold of it completely. Take that instruction wholly. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. I've used that passage before. I'm way too close to my remote there. So it is not within us to direct our own steps. There's nothing that we can do to affect our salvation in any way. Couple times, and you don't see this a whole lot in racing anymore, is blown engines, but that's what we see here. And not only one, I think another car up there has done the same thing too. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You can't see it very well, and there's a couple of really good videos that was during the race last week of people that were behind that car that blew its engine, and all they see is smoke. And they slowed down, but most of them are still doing 130, 40, 50 miles an hour. Imagine doing that inside of a cloud bank where you can't see where you're going. Well, that's how life is sometimes. We get these clouds around us of things just everything hitting us, everything going awry, nothing making sense, and it's like, I cannot figure out where to go. I want that instruction that we just talked about. I want to hold on to it tightly, but I can't see where I'm going. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In pitch black darkness, a little bit of light will always get us to where we need to go, and we can follow that. Proverbs 4:14, enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Making a pretty severe analogy here or there. Those people are in front. They're causing problems. And so as you can use a spiritual twist on that, they can be seen as the wicked. Now, if you don't like those drivers, you could probably see it even easier. But just think of it analytically there. The path of the wicked is not a way that we want to go. We don't want to keep following somebody. The easiest thing for a driver behind a car that's blowing smoke like that is to kind of watch the taillights or the back end of that car if you can. But the path's not going to be good. And you're going to be, in this case, if they've blown an engine, they're probably putting down a bunch of oil. So it's just even making the path more dangerous. 2 Samuel 22:37, you enlarge my path under me so my feet did not slip. That's one thing that God does for us. If we lean on Him, we look to Him for instruction, we let go of the wheel of life and we try to follow Him, He makes that narrow path that might be very difficult for us open up. The more we rely on Him, the more we look to Him, the bigger that path gets. And I kind of talked about this on Wednesday night too, a tightrope walker. That line may be so small, but with care and paying attention and looking in the direction they want to go, sometimes it's easier for them to make that path. So if we want God to enlarge our path, we need to look for that. So when challenged, do we try to do it all by ourselves or do we let go of the wheel and lean on God? That's one thing that we need to try to do, all of us, myself included, for sure. If you like country music, you probably started thinking of this song when we first started talking about it. I had this subject down and had been working on it for a while before I forgot about that song. A really good example of this. If you know the artist, you can figure out who this is. The lyrics on the song go, she was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve, going home to see her mama and daddy with a baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It had been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air, just like that driver did. She said, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands, because I can't do this all on my own. I'm letting go, so give me one more chance to save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel. In that song, she's talking about something I think we've all had too much familiarity with this past year. You get in them bad situations on ice, and you're not ready for it, and it hits you. And sometimes you go out of control. I remember my dad, when he used to live up north, I think he said he was going down I-70 one time and crossed the bridge over the Stillwater River there. He said the bridge was frozen, and he was driving a cable truck, and he said he started across that bridge, and I think he said 2 180s is what his truck did, and he just went back on the other side. You can't control your car on ice. There is not one person in this congregation that has normal tires on their car that can control their car on ice. I remember when I was working at Best Products years ago, I was going on Shoot Mill Road up towards where Best Products used to be, and if I even let go of my brake, my car would just do this. It would just roll right off the road because it had PosiTrack, which means both back wheels spin at the same time, and the only way I was able to keep it going was to put my emergency brake partially on, and the car would just crawl on the ice until I can get to safety. As Christians and as people in this life, sometimes there's roads that we get on that may be a road that we didn't plan for, maybe a road that was far rougher than what we were expecting, that had more to cause us problems than we were ready for. But the only person that's going to be able to get us on those roads, just like on ice, sometimes there's nothing we can do. All we can do is pray to God, Lord, please help me get through this. And in this song, that's what this woman's doing too. She's got her baby in the back seat. She's trying to get home to see her mom and dad. Hits a slick spot on the freeway, going to Cincinnati of all places. And the car is just out of control. And she's like, I can't handle this. Help me, God. Help me out, Lord. Jesus, take the wheel. Next verse, it was getting colder and she made it to the shoulder and the car came to a stop. She cried when she saw the baby in the back seat sleeping like a rock, and for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. So from now on tonight, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands, because I can't do this all on my own. I'm letting go, so give me one more chance to save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel. Question for this morning, are we letting Jesus take the wheel in our lives? And if not, isn't it time that we let Jesus do that? It's not an easy thing. We think we are so invincible sometimes. We can take so much on ourselves, but it is simply too much for us. God and the power and might that He has is so able to help us with everything that we've got in life. All we have to do is turn to Him. In prayer, in our diligence and study, in our looking for that knowledge and taking a hold of it. It's all up to us. We can be that inertia. Remember, inertia is a body tends to keep going on its own or tends to stay at rest unless it's acted upon by another force. We might be on the right road, but we still may have a tendency to veer off from time to time for sin or veer off from just a lack of wanting to keep on the road. We can't look to God if we keep trying to get off of it. So it's important that we try to. So this morning, I encourage each one of you to think about that. Hopefully there was something in that. If you don't like racing besides the racing, that would be good for you to think about. For those that do like racing, next time that you see a race, besides the boogity, 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 maybe you can think about there's some spiritual applications in here when I see these people trying to fight the wheel on their cars. We all want to get to see God. That's the most important thing. That's why we're here today. That's why we take the Lord's Supper. That's why we pray. We try to encourage each other to do the best we can. And all of us do have a role to play in how we drive ourselves to heaven. And we need to make sure that we're all on the same road. So this morning, if you have any needs that need to be known, please let that be known as we stand and sing.